Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and I am deeply grateful to have you with me for this August 22nd airing of Aspire 2020. We're going to be looking at what can we not do. We'll take a look at that and what that all means. I am getting all sorts of interesting questions about the pandemic. It seems that this is really a big thing for some people. And for others, it is cast off as a political deal. But for a lot of people, they're thinking that all of this has to do with the will of God, and that God is either punishing or paying us back for our flagrant way of living our life here on this beautiful earth, and how we have turned it into such a difficult place to be together. And so I'm paraphrasing that and being polite, because the words that are being used by some of the authors of these emails is rather explicit, and I get it. I'm not offended, but a lot of people are. So we're going to call this particular segment of Aspire, What Can We Not Do? I will try to, the emails are very long, and what I'm going to try to do is condense them down so we just get to the meat of the matter and go from there. First question comes from Jeff in San Antonio, Texas. He says, what can we not do to change with the new world that is coming about, that God is creating? It seems to be such a miracle. Jeff. Well, Jeff, the one of the first things is to make an assumption that God is doing this. I know that's a popular way of dealing with things with most of us, to think that there's someone in charge here, but actually this is all scientific. This virus was created out of an ignorance and a carelessness. And whether or not it was intentional or not, I am not equipped nor, informed enough to make that kind of decision. But let us look at the heart of what you're asking. What can we not do to change with the world, the new world? One of the things we don't want to do, and the world is going to change from all of this. We're not going to go back to the way we were. It's going to be seemingly much more, shall we say, intense. It's going to be very hard. The world is going to be hardened, and people are going to be hardened. And what we need to do is understand our genetics and the process of our DNA. In other words, we need to go back to school and understand the science of our bodies, understanding the chemicals that infiltrate our brain, that have a definite effect on how we think, the way we think, and where we think from. We need all of this. I would highly recommend reading Behave by Robert Sapolsky. If you can get through it, it's I've read it 8 times now. Took me that many times to really get it in my brain, the scientific aspect of it. And then there is always Sapiens and Homo Deus. I really feel that these three books are very, very powerful, very important. You can get them on Amazon, and I really think you should read them. They will give you the history of the world and understanding what the world is all about and how it goes from cycle to cycle. You will understand in Behave how the brain works, how the body and the brain work, and how they impulse each other. That prejudice and all of that has a lot to do with our genetics. And while these are not excuses, they are insights. You asked me, what can we not do to change with the new world? What we need not do is turn off our interest in our bodies and the source of our prejudice, the source of our illness, the source of our resistance. We need to see things for the way they are. And in the West, we look at things from the point of view of politics. Well, now we need to see things from the view of science. And there is no doubt about it in my mind that there is a science to the human body. And if you understand that science and can allow yourself to acclimate your mind to it, get kind of an insight into it, allow your mind to think differently instead of thinking from the political end of the spectrum to the scientific realm of the mind and the body and the world, then you will start to understand how this all happened and where our behaviors need to change. Now, changing human behavior is like herding cats. I don't care what anybody says, it cannot be done. The only time you can get people together and herd them in a direction is through war and hate. And that's as far as it really goes. And even then, you have to be stringent with your soldiers and blah, blah, blah. And it gets real ugly. The human dilemma, the human cycle of living, the humanness of living is an impossible situation. It just is. And that's really what we need to do. And this has nothing to do with any religious ideal, because in religion, you all believe, if you're religious, that God did all this. Well, if God is the image and likeness of mankind, if God created man in his own image and likeness, then he's as screwed up as we are. So now you've got to look at it from the point of view, the guy that's leading us, this God guy, is also the one who is starting all the trouble. And you can't trust that dude, because for whatever reasons that are his own, according to what I have heard religious leaders say, he can put thumbs up, thumbs down, kill you or not kill you, just for the sake of not understanding what the heck is going on. So I don't get into the religious thing. It's far too parochial for me. I'm more into, what is it that I can do with the time I have left here on the planet to serve humankind? That's my premise. How can I help? And if you really want to know how to help in the new world that is emerging right now, slowly, slowly emerging, you will want to put yourself in a position where, instead of sitting there and worrying about your future, start thinking about what it is you can do to be of service to humankind, how you can help people. That's always been my shtick and still is. I still look at it from the point of view of how important that might be in the course of my living. How can I help you? Now, to do all of this, to have all of this, means that there has to be some semblance of consciousness, some semblance of kindness in you, and compassion. And if I don't have that compassion, and I think that in the new world that is going to occur here and is slowly emerging, that these factors of having a life of service to humankind and helping people, putting other people before ourselves and sitting at a more humble place at the table of life is not important. It is. It's essential. So humility, kindness, forgiveness, service to humankind, the best you can do, the most you can do, these are the things that are going to be most important in the future. But as I said, to get people to do this, it's going to be very hard because their politics supersede their compassion. And we're a political country. We're not compassionate. We're political. And we live in that politics. And if we see a reason to be kind to another person, it will only be out of the politics of our supposed democracy, which we do not live in. We live in a republic that is quickly turning into a fascist government. And humankind has allowed that to happen. And, you know, it really doesn't matter if Mr. Trump gets in again or not. I'd rather he not, but if he, it really doesn't matter. The wheels are already turning. And we've got to look at a lot of things that we gave up so casually, like habeas corpus and things like that. And this Electoral College thing has got to go. Those are Greg Penn opinions based on no truth whatsoever. Just forget them. Okay. Thank you, Jeff, for your question. I hope I answered it well. Please forgive me. Namaste. These questions are going to be kind of semi-political. I've got to keep my... You obviously know I'm not a Trumper. Okay, the next one comes from Raymond. He has written us before, but he won't tell us where he lives. How can I not do what I can do? In other words, I have this feeling I should just fight for my rights. But if I do, it seems that I am in jeopardy of getting sick. What do I do? What do you do? This question has been answered by Henny Youngman. And Henny Youngman was a comedian who played the violin. He was very funny. He wasn't of my era, but I knew of him. I saw him on a few TV programs, and he, you know, his famous line was, "Take my wife, please," that kind of thing. And he tells a joke about, you know, going to the doctor, and he says, "Doc, it always hurts when I do that." And the doctor says, "Don't do that." So here's the deal, Ray. You got to look at your life and think of it as a point now of discipline. This is not a word that Americans like to hear, but here's the deal. Everything you and I do affects people all over the world now. Any little thing I do, if I get infected, it affects everyone that I know. It will affect everyone you know. And then they have to look at themselves and realize that they have affected other people. More than ever before, it is obvious to me that we live in a network. In this network, spiritually speaking, as well as socially speaking, we affect each other. In this network, first it started with the lack of spiritual consciousness. Now, I'm not talking about religious theory or belief. I'm talking about consciousness, about having the ability to rise above common thought, to put love ahead of desire, ambition, and pride. This is extremely important. I cannot say enough about that. So the good times that we used to think we knew have to change now to times where we are helping one another, loving one another, caring about one another, where we're doing things to make love possible with one another. Possible. Make love possible. That's the big one. And if you can understand that, if you can comprehend that, you will see it means doing the things that support people to be healthy and to be wise, not smart. We have lots of smart people in this world. I mean, lots of smart people. But we don't have people who have great wisdom, who are in the forefront of helping society. And the reason for that is because society cannot withstand the rigors of wisdom. Just can't do it because it requires saying no. No to desire, no to ambition, no to the things we pride ourselves on, no. I mean, all people really want, Americans want, at least the young ones that I've seen on television, all they want is to have fun, and they want to have fun at the cost of anyone else. They don't really care. There, one young man said, you know, how do you help a bunch of young people who are too stupid to know what they're doing? And he was a young person. He was, I admired him. He admitted it. It isn't really stupidity. It's selfishness that we're facing. And nobody wants to say those words. Nobody wants to look at it and realize it's about selfishness. Wear a mask. Stay out of the public if you can. Distance yourself. Make your life different. You're going to have to, and you're going to have to go home and find a way to do things on these computers that we have where we're not hacking each other, but helping each other. If you have the smarts to work a computer and hack somebody or hack a group of people, wouldn't it just make sense that you would also have the smarts, the brain power to do things that made love possible? Maybe create something that networked us together in helping one another rather than hurting one another. Our DNA is a mechanism for survival, and you must read about it in Sapolsky's book. Your DNA is there to help you survive in caveman days, in primordial days. We are coded with all sorts of impulses and instincts to survive. But a lot of them are just not necessary. We don't have to be ruthless about it. We could turn that into something kind, something that helped another person. You don't know, you really don't know, not one of you listening to me, how important you really are. You don't realize it. And I'm not talking about being important to your family or because you're such a great person. The importance of you is in your ability to be kind. Just kind. You don't have to even, you know, be spiritual to do that. Just be kind. To want the best for another person and do your best to help them become their best. Or to serve them in some way that promotes their healing or their health. Everybody has this ability. But we don't use it because we don't want to do it. We are lazy and indifferent about the meaning of our life. So here's the deal. What is it about me that makes all this possible? It is my relationship to hatred and fear inside me and how I network that out and become a part of the fabric of a network of people that live in the common dictates of hate and fear and feel that it is logical, reasonable, and even necessary. And as long as I am living in that kind of magnitude, the longitude of my life is going to be ugly. And I am going to be a part of the problem. And now I'm pitting myself against another person and another person and another person. And that's what the network is all about. And it's all hidden. It's deep in every society, every culture, every person in this world. We are all part of a huge network. And we don't even realize we have signed up for it at all. We just don't realize it. But here we are, doing what we do. And so you asked, how can I not do what I can do? Give up your insistence on living in your instinct. Stop living from the idea just because it's instinctual and it makes sense to your body Don't do it. Let love live you. Go another direction. Instead of instinctually hating and fearing, be conscious. Step out of the network and help people. Do everything you can to serve humankind in the way you can help. And you don't realize just simple little kindnesses mean so much. Simple little kindnesses. Just please and thank you at times. Stepping aside, forgiving a person for whatever they've done that's kind of disjointed and strange. Just do the kind. That's the way I look at it. Do the kind. Ray, thank you for your question. Please forgive me. Namaste. And the last question comes from William. He does not tell me where he lives. What is it we can't see to change for the good? That's all he wrote. We can't see that we are love. We just refuse to see it. It's really not something you can see with your mind. It's not something you can see with your body. It's not something you can see with your genetic nature. You can't see it through common logic and reasoning. The problem with a lot of us is that we don't choose to mechanize, as it were, our life and understand the nature of our life so we can realize the goodness that lives within us and the goodness that actually does live in other people. We just don't do that. And the reason we don't do that is because we are fully aware of the fact of what other people do and their evil, their hatred. And it catches like wildfire in each and every human being because of DNA. The DNA wants to survive. It is a mechanism for survival. And it just goes on and on and on. And it comes up with the wildest ideas and beliefs and all sorts of things that make for an ugly way of living our life. And there is an appeal to being crude, rude, and lewd. There really is. It's something that makes people think they stand out, makes them think they're special. And if we are outrageous about our cruelty, we tend to think of ourselves as being smart or whatever in the network. We join the network and it makes us feel special and unique in the network. You're not special and you're not unique when you and I are being cruel. So what we have to do is step aside from all of that. You asked me, what can't we see? What can't we see to change for the good? We can't see the goodness of our heart. And we can't see that love wins, that love is the ultimate. And I'm going to say this, and it's not going to be popular, but it is true. To die for love is noble. To live for hate and fear is cowardly. And if you don't see the wisdom behind what I just said, then nothing can help you at all. I mean, absolutely nothing. And nothing I say or anyone else would say on a spiritual nature would mean very much to the average person who can't understand that. If you're going to leave this world, leave it in love. Let love take you, not hate, not fear. To stay here out of hate and fear, to sacrifice your beautiful life for the sake of being self-righteous in hatred is a very big mistake that I'm afraid most of us make quite often in our living in this world. I hope that helps, William. Thank you for your beautiful question, and please forgive me. Namaste. I'm out of here. Got more questions tomorrow. Hope you'll join me. Thank you for listening. And once again, please forgive me, eh? Namaste.